We are still in our series called Worth Fighting For. Worth Fighting For, a biblical view of marriage. A biblical view of marriage. Last week, we talked about a few things I want to remind you. And first of all, we said there are no married people issues. There are no married people issues. There are only single people issues that get worse in marriage. There are no married people issues. There are only single people issues that gets worse in marriage. In other words, marriage doesn't create problems. It merely exposes them. 2 weeks ago, the Ole Miss Rebels played the LSU Tigers. And they were driving on the final drive there. The quarterback, Bo Wallace for the Rebels, hit Laquan Treadwell, who is a wide receiver, across the middle. And I mean, with just pure determination, he was going to the goal line, and the actual goal line was right there. And right before the ball crossed the goal line, he fumbled the ball. LSU recovered, they win. What we found out afterwards is that he experienced a break in his ankle. Now listen to this. In his ankle, he broke his ankle, and the pain caused him to drop the ball. Now, here's the deal. There's probably not one of you in this room that knows this, because I probably am the only one that follows Mississippi sports. But I was reading this, and I'm a Mississippi State fan, not an Ole Miss fan, but I was reading this, and here's the deal. Here's one of the reasons. Now, the way he fell on his ankle and the way it was grabbed is one of the reasons the ankle broke. But another reason was there was already a problem in the ankle. Listen to this. In the ankle prior to his injury. So the actual fall really did not, it may have caused the break, but it wasn't the root problem. The root problem was there. Just the way he fell, listen, exposed the problem that was already there. There's a lot of us in this room. We're going to counseling because we say we got problems in our marriage, or we've got something wrong in our relationship, and we think it's the other person. The marriage didn't cause it. It's just exposing a deeper problem with you. At some point, you don't want to admit it because you want to blame your spouse, you want to blame your marriage, and you want to blame them for all your problems. But if you were honest with yourself, listen, if you were honest with yourself, you'd probably admit that your marriage is just unearthing the existing problems in your heart, which is selfishness, control, impatience, and anger. Y'all want to continue? I want to welcome 1031. They'll be watching in a minute. So Ephesians chapter 5. Now you've been standing enough, so I want you to stay seated right now, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Listen to this. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Now guys, what I'm speaking on today, now listen, I know some of you are about to say, hot dog, he's not going to be able to finish it. I'm speaking to the husbands today. Now, all I need, ladies, is one amen to keep going to preach the whole thing. Here we go. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any other such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Heavenly Father, oh God, as I've done all this week and especially this morning, God, I come before you helpless to preach this message, because God, I struggle with everything that I'm going to be speaking on today. And God, one of my greatest fears in life is that I'm going to be a failure as a husband and as a dad. More than being a failure as a pastor, God. and said, Lord, I pray that God, you would help me today not preach as one, and that it wouldn't come across that I have it all together or that I am an expert at this, but God, that I am a broken sinner who has come for you for help. And God, I believe I have found it in your word. So may your word speak louder than this preacher. And may we be helped today. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's one area in my life that I see many, many, many failures and feel so many, many, many frustrations, it's in my dual role as husband to Lenora and daddy to my three kids. When I see the expectations placed on me from Lenora and the expectations placed on me from my kids, and even the expectations placed on me from this church and from myself, so often I look in the mirror and I wonder, how can I meet them all? How can I meet them all? Can I just go ahead and tell you this truth? I can't and you can't. Hear me, guys. I can't and you can't. I pray that you still remember from last week. God did not create me to complete Lenora. He created me for himself to complete me. I have been created so that Jesus Christ might save me and that I might give my life to him for the rest of my life. So most of us at one time or another, men, maybe even now, feel like you are working so hard, pouring your life and your career into the pursuit of the American dream, but still everything around you that matters is being washed away in a sandcastle. Men and women are worlds apart when it comes to differences. Men and women are worlds apart when it comes to differences. Men and women are different in creation. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7 God formed man out of the dust. Men, hey, can I just go ahead and tell you? We came from dirt. Hey, listen. I could go days and my kids could go days without baths, but not Lenora. I'm serious, man. I mean, it's amazing. Lenora's had the kids had their bath. They got one. Oh, that was 3 days ago. No, they hadn't got one. They're different in communication. Women speak 20 to 25,000 words a day. Men speak 15 to 2,000 words a day. The hardest job and most frustrating task I've ever had in my life is trying to be a consistent, godly husband and dad. Irma Bombeck said this, "Married women can be divided into two classes. Those who have model husbands and those whose husbands could use a little remodeling." Lady's husband, she couldn't find him for about a week. And he did this often. He'd go off on a drunken rage and he'd leave. And so she went to file a missing persons report and her neighbor went with her to the police. And she said, "I'm looking for my husband." So what does he look like? She said, "He's 6'3", 200 pounds, athletic build, blonde hair, blue eyes, great with kids." He said, "We'll be looking for him." They get in the car and her neighbor said, "That's not your husband. Your husband is 5'5", 350 pounds, bald, hates your kids." She said, "Who wants him back?" Listen to this. Listen, that Gary Thomas made this statement in Christian Counseling Today. Christian Counseling Today in an article entitled Holy Matrimony. "Instead of divorcing our spouses, we need to divorce our faulty reality, our faulty views of marriage. Instead of thinking about changing our spouses, let's ask how God can use our marriages to change us. Instead of wondering where all the dreams have gone, let's create new dreams of how our marriages can point others to the most important marriage of all time, a world reconciled to its creator, Jesus Christ." Folks, God knows everything about us. He knows everything about us. And really the only expectation that he has for our family, men, is this. God desires to be Lord of your marriage, of your family, and for your family to be a picture of His glory and His grace and His love. And so what does God expect from the husband? He expects us to cherish our wives with an unconditional love. Now here's what I'm going to do. God, in His infinite will and in His infinite way, I believe has given us what He expects from the men in one verse. Now here's what I'm going to do. Because of time, I'm only going to give you one of these, so you got to come back next week, okay? Got to come back next week. Golly, I can't believe I got to wait 2 weeks before I talk to you wives. I may let Lenora get up here and do that. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Just one sentence. Colossians 3, verse 19. Listen to what it says. Golly, this is so good. Husbands, love your wives, and do not treat them harshly. Do not be bitter towards them. That's what it literally means. Do not treat them harshly. Do not be rude. Listen, guys. Do not be bitter towards them. So guys, and if you're single in here and you're a man, I want you to pay attention. This is premarital counseling for you. Seriously, guys, I want you to listen. And I mean this when I say this. I so wanted Lenora to come up here and speak with me on this subject, because if I'm not careful and if you're not careful, here's what it will appear. 10:31, I want you to listen. Here's what it'll appear like. It will appear that Pastor Chad has it all together. Now, listen to me, guys. It will appear to maybe some of you wives, oh man, if my husband would love me the way Pastor Chad loves Lenora, or if we had that relationship. And listen, I want you to hear me. You only see what I allow you to see on Sunday mornings. You're not with me every day. I promise you guys, hear me. If Lenora was up here, she would tell you in a heartbeat, he is as far from the perfect husband as they come. I'm telling you. But ladies, and I'll talk more about this in 2 weeks. The reason our marriage is steadily clicking on, and I believe with all my heart, is because she is submitting to me as unto the Lord. Because she sees that I don't complete her. She's been completed in Jesus, and she is lifting me up as a husband. I've experienced more grace from that lady than anything in this world. And so, guys, when I say this, I'm trying to practice this too. And so what does it look like? What does it look like? Why? If the good news is that if we meet this expectation of Colossians 3:19, we can help make our family a picture of God's glory and God's love. And so if it really is worth fighting for, what do we need to have? Number one, guys, husbands, we need to have a spiritual love. A spiritual love. So Paul said, husbands, love your wives. See, oftentimes, boy, we're quick to say this. Wives, submit to your husband. Hey, can we just take the Bible literal? Literally, watch this. Husbands, who's he speaking to? Who? Husbands. So ladies, he's talking to us. You don't need to. That came out wrong. I'm telling you. That came out wrong. My point was going to be, listen, we're quick to say, wives, submit to your husband. When he says wives, he's speaking to the wives. God's speaking to your wife, so you don't have to. You see, we're quick to use these verses and use them for our own good and hold them over their heads. Why don't we just let God's Word do the speaking and do the talking? And so right here, he's saying, husbands, that's every one of you men who have married, or you have a dream about being married or desire to be married. He's telling you to do this. Love your wives. This is what it means, in a radical, crazy love type of way. That's what he's talking about. I mean, it's amazing to me today, the distance between husbands and wives, and they the way they love one another is just totally foreign from what I think of love. And the Bible is saying love them in a crazy way. When Paul wrote these words, listen to this, when he wrote these words in Colossians, jaws would have been dropping in amazement by the men. Because in the Greek culture, listen, in the Greek culture of that day, the husbands had no obligations to the wives. Did y'all hear that? They had no obligations to their wife. He was free to come and go as he pleased. I mean, the idea that a husband had any type of responsibility in the home would have been a revolutionary concept in Paul's day. Yet here, every man was given this admonition to love his wife and to love no other woman the way he loves his wife. To some men, that may sound simple. But it's extremely profound, and here's why. Have you ever thought about what the word husband means? It comes from a word which means house band. House band. In other words, the husband is to be a band that is to reach around his wife, that is to reach around his kids, that is to reach around his family, his home, and to protect them, and to provide for them, and to pray with and for them. Guys, it is incredible to me the way we will be passionate about sports, the way we will be passionate about our job, the way we will be passionate about a hobby, but yet we are gladly take a back seat to our wife being passionate about spiritually leading our house. And that is wrong. That is wrong. I praise God for you godly ladies in this church, because if this church is anything like any other church I've known, this church wouldn't be around if it were not for the godly women picking up the baton where the men have fallen. And the same way, that same truth applies to the home. It is not Lenora's responsibility, listen, to lead spiritually at my house. It is mine. But it is Lenora's responsibility to be a leader spiritually in my home. But I am to be the leader of my home. Even the verb that Paul used would have caught everyone's attention when he said, husbands, love your wives. Because the love that Paul is talking about here is not just an affectionate feeling that will come and go. The word that he used was agape, which means it's a spiritual love that is given expecting nothing in return. It expects nothing in return. In other words, this is not a love that says, I will love you if you do this and that. This is not a love that says, I will love you because you did this and that. This is not a love that says, I will love you since you did this and that. This is a love that says, I love you regardless of whether you did this or that. I love you, and I love you no matter what, and I love you even though you don't do anything for me. I'm going to love you because I don't know about you. Listen to me. Somebody may say, Pastor, doesn't it take two? Yes, it did. But praise God. Yes, it does. But listen to this. It takes God and man for there to be salvation. I mean, because here's God. Man is all alone. Man is lost. But it says, this is love, not that I first loved him, but that he first loved me. So guys, I can't love my wife with a spiritual love if I'm just waiting on her to do something to cause me to do it. No, I love her with a spiritual love, with an agape love. You know why? Because he first loved me. Guys, listen. Well, she's not meeting my needs. Are you meeting his? Are you more concerned about your needs being met? Or are you more concerned about meeting his needs? About allowing God, listen, to use you for his glory. The love that Paul talks about here is not a love of passion that dies out when the physical attraction is over. It is not a love of emotion that fades away over time. It is a love of the will, a love that refuses to die. And so what I mean by spiritual love is this. When you love your wife the way God wants you to love her, then you will walk a godly walk, you will talk a godly talk, you will show her by the way you respond to her that you are willing to apply God's word to your own heart and your own life in any given situation. So here we go. Listen to this statement. You can't expect her to only be biblical in submitting to you and you not be biblical in loving her. Let me say that again. You can't expect her to only be biblical in submitting to you and you not be biblical in loving her. Church family, guys, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to love someone with a spiritual love that way. Matter of fact, listen to me. Matter of fact, hear me. Because some of you won't be back next week. You know, over in Ephesians, it says we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. Can I tell you the only way in the balcony, listen, the only way down front, the only way you can love your wife in a spiritual love that way? Are you willing to die? I don't mean physically. I don't mean physically. I mean, are you willing to die to your selfish needs, your selfish desires, your selfish wants? And are you willing to put, listen to me, are you willing to put others? Do you remember what Jesus said in Philippians 2? That he humbled himself? Do we believe that Jesus is God? But it says that he willingly humbled himself. That's what it means in a marriage. Guys, I'm the head of my home, but I've got to willingly love her and put her first. Here we go. Here's the question. Here's the invitation. Pastor Travis, go ahead and come on up. This is the invitation. But Pastor, last night, she makes me so mad. Listen, I don't mean it's been funny. How do I respond to that? Maybe you watched your father. Maybe it's been passed down. Maybe there's verbal abuse in your home and you're not aware of it. But if your wife would not be so fearful and could really speak to you. See, that's, can I tell you what I want, what I desire? And I say this all the time. I don't want Lenore to ever be afraid to say anything to me. Like, I don't want her to ever think, but this may make him mad or this. Because when I go to God, I've got free access because of what he did for me. I want her to be able to come to me because she knows how much I love her. And so right now, here's how do I respond? Well, according to 2 Peter 1:4, once you've been saved, you have a new nature. So no matter what's been passed down to you, listen to, according to 2 Peter 1:4, you've got God's nature in you. You can react different. You can train yourself. So here's what I want you to ask yourself. Here we go. How do I respond? What is the loving thing to do? That's so simple. I try to practice that. I really do. I don't do it all the time, but I promise. I really try to practice. Because the person I love the most gets on my nerves the most. I'm just telling you. It's incredible. It's incredible. And Satan knows that. And so Satan wants to destroy that. And so here's what I have to do. What's the loving thing to do? How is the loving way to react? What is the loving thing to do here? And it's got to be a love that I don't expect back. I don't expect something in return. I do it because he loves me, and I've got to love her as Christ loved the church. Father in heaven, God, I don't know what's going on in a lot of the marriages. I do know that, Father, there are a lot of people who are struggling right now. And so, God, I'm going to ask you, in all of your glory and all of your grace, would you reconcile marriages in this place? God, would you convict husbands today of their selfish ways? And God, would you convict them of their lack of spiritual leadership, their laziness in that area? Oh, God, forgive me for being more passionate, oftentimes about who my kids root for in a sports team, or getting them to a cheer competition or a dance program or anything else, God, rather than getting the Word of God and hearing them pray, hearing myself, me pray over them, God, and understanding the most important thing is their relationship with Jesus. God, you know my heart this morning. You know it. God, you know it. I can't lie to you if I wanted to. God, my heart's desire is for our men of this church to be spiritual giants, to be godly warriors for Christ, and to lead our homes, to be a place of refuge, and a place, God, where we're raising up disciples and sending them out. Help us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look right up here at me in the balcony down front. If you've never been saved, listen to me, if you've never been saved, the single most important relationship in your life is your relationship between you and the Creator, God. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for you. He was buried, but on the third day arose again so that He might have power over your sin to conquer anything in your life and to forgive you of your sins. Today you can be set free if you'll give your heart to Jesus Christ. We've got some men in the balcony up there. In the balcony, if you want to go to one of them on both sides, they'll be happy to talk to you. We're going to be down front. If God is moving in your heart, you come. If you need to join this church, whatever God's leading you to do, we ask you to come. As we stand, you come right now.